Hello, Fight Inside fan, viewer, and listeners. I'm your co-host today. My name is Irfan. I'm a striking coach. I work with a couple of fighters, one currently in the UFC. Before we start today, if you can take a moment to subscribe and follow us right now and leave a five-star rating and comment. Everything is below right there. Also, if you like to support the show and check out some good snacks, middaysquares.com, you get 15% off with the Fight Insight code. And today's episode, we welcome a heavyweight to see what's new and discuss fouls in MMA, as well as upcoming UFC this weekend, first time in Paris, and a whole lot more. Tim, hit it, baby. Let's go. Yes, Timmy B,
Prince B, Fight Insight. Yes. Oh, that was a good intro, Irfan. You did not mess that up, my friend. That was a good one.
Thank you.
Guys, today our guest, he needs no introduction. You may recall him from episode 34, almost 1 year ago. Hold on. Not yet.
I know. I'm just trolling you.
Almost 1 year ago. He's an actor. He's an entertainer, a pro wrestler, a rapper, an MMA fighter. And now just recently at High Rollers, he's a jiu-jitsu competitor as well. Here to give us an update on what he's been up to, his future fight plans, and he's got a very interesting TV show that we got to talk to him. I think that's coming up. It's in the works. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the podcast,
Trap Daddy Gambino.
What's up, guys? How y'all doing out there?
Look at that. Trap, I said that my guest co-host normally like maybe get a little bit stressed out on the intro, but Irfan,
oh, he killed it.
I killed it, man. I think I have a future on this show. That's for sure.
We're looking for a permanent co-host, Irfan. I know you're a busy dude, but when you're ready. I think Trap's looking for that spot as well, though, right, Trap?
Man, if I could get some time, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Trap, you've got so much going on, man. I mean, your life is a constant... Like, if you follow Trap on social media, which you should be, if you're not already, I'm going to put it up at the bottom of the screen there. It's at Trap Daddy MMA. Trap, so many things going on. First thing, you've got new management.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean?
So, about, what was it, like 2 months ago, I was approached by CNM Sports Management. And these guys met me, and we had a long conversation. We went over a lot of details about what I want for my career, what they want for their management, what they're looking for, what the type of athletes they want to sign. And we really talked deep, and we decided that we were a good fit for each other. So I decided to sign with Team CNM out here in Las Vegas. They're actually out here in Vegas, LA, and Mexico. So these guys are expanding and they're going to continue to expand. And we're the death row of fight sports. And they're serious, man. They're kind of came out of nowhere. And I think they got the right choice, choosing Trap Daddy Gambino to add to their squad. And ever since I signed with these guys, it kind of put like a fire under my belt. And things have been changing for me, man, for the better. So.
Nice. Good, man.
I'm excited.
Man. And so you hinted at possibly fighting at Influencer Fight League. Is this going to be a thing or no?
So this is something that I'm campaigning for. Me and my team are really campaigning for. I guess I can say I'm trying to fight Big Sam, which is he's a celebrity known for, like, he does like smoking Pringles and smoking Cheetos and stuff like that. Yeah. He's a wild kid. He's a good dude, though. He's a really cool guy. So we're hoping to put the gloves on together, go in there and represent the super heavyweights and some celebrity boxing. I don't, you know, nothing is signed yet. They haven't really announced their next card, but I have a feeling if they do announce their next card soon, I'm probably going to be on it. So we'll see. We're in the talks, but nothing's official.
Nice. It seems like this influencer and YouTube thing is taking off. I think it was a big event with boxing the past weekend. It's getting a lot of attention to the sport. I mean, for boxing as well, it's definitely help saving them stay relevant, you know, because MMA is somewhat taking over. So, no, it's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely, it's going like head to head now with these YouTube guys. And I don't really watch those YouTube fighters, but I do, I did see like some of the highlights, and some of the boxing that I seen on there was pretty impressive for being like such just influencers. You know, some of these guys can actually box.
Yeah. Some of these guys take it up serious. The best influencer fights I like to watch are where it's like 270-pound Russian boys fighting like a big 300-pound Russian woman. Have you seen those ones?
No, I haven't, but that's pretty funny, man.
Two at a time, man. Those women take on two dudes at a time. There's a former guest we had on our podcast, Helena Padilla. She's a legit Muay Thai fighter. She fought at the last Influencer Fight League, and she was she was like the true fight on the card. You know, because she's like an actual fighter, but everyone, when we had her on, you know, Trap, you would like her. She's a very appealing person that you could follow. Yeah. Irfan, don't smile too much. I don't know if you're
what a politically correct way to say something, eh?
Thank you.
I'll have to check her out for sure.
Yeah. Check her out. She's amazing. And she always wears cool outfits and stuff. Anyways, Helena Padilla, but she was fighting on the card. And when, before she came on, I'm looking at Influencer Fight League, and it's all these girls like, you know, have never fought before in their lives or anything. I was like, what the hell is this? But I feel like that would be such a good environment for you, like for your kind of character and who you are. I feel like you would bring such a great addition to that card. Like, you got to get on that, man.
Man, I feel the same, and I think that they think the same thing too, because we, you know, they're in my DMs, they're in my management DMs, and they want me, man. But we just gotta work it out and see, you know, see what happens. Everything's it's the fight is literally 10% of this business, which is crazy. It's the fight business, and fighting is like 10% of it. Like, there's so much around it to even make the fight happen. And so I'm just kind of waiting impatiently, to be honest.
Now,
but I'm training hard, man. I'm training like the fight is happening. I've been training pretty much straight boxing. So I'm pretty much training.
This is going to be a boxing fight, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. That's amazing.
Nice. But you're training in everything, right? You're still training MMA? I mean, you did the jiu-jitsu with High Rollers. Are you still focused on everything, or are you focusing on boxing?
So I'll be honest. I did the jiu-jitsu at High Rollers kind of on a whim. Like, it was a 10 days notice. I wasn't really training jiu-jitsu at the time. I was just training striking. And I heard that, what's his name, Supreme Patty pulled out for Brandon Bowen. And that was going to be one of the celebrity fights there.
Yeah.
And, you know, on 10 days notice, they were looking for somebody to fill in. Of course, I'm going to go in, talk a bunch of trash and fill in. And I kind of knew what was going to happen, man. I wasn't really training hard in that point of time in my life. I just came back from vacation in Ohio, and, you know, but it is what it is, man. I had fun and I did try, but I was high. And it was High Rollers, so it's okay.
Yeah, no, man. Hey, dude, you're a cool dude, and you always make the most of the things. Like your promo that you did there with the girl when you were talking and stuff. Hey, man, you put on a good show. I will say, though, I was screaming at the screen when I was watching you fight, because I was like, Irfan, Trap had about 200 pounds on his opponent. Okay, like
I gotta watch. Dude, that, I could have.
And I'm you could have like, ran that back like 30 seconds later. I would have done better, man. But everybody has that kind of excuse.
Yeah.
I'm just not. I guess I wasn't grappling at the time.
All I wanted you to do.
I can't believe I wasn't standing. I should have been way lower.
All I wanted you to do was just sprawl on him, and then he would have died. Like,
yeah, and you know what? I was kind of training sprawls in the back, going up there, because I knew that's exactly what he was. I knew that's exactly what he was going to go for.
Yeah.
Is to just, like, you know, use my weight, put me up against the cage, and, you know, take me down. But that's kind of what I was trying to do to him. But yeah, man, I'm not really a grappler. I'm a striker, so I'm glad that I get to do that now.
Yeah. Now, I always try to pair up my guest co-host with my guest, and this was perfect because I've got Irfan here, striking coach for Malcolm Gordon. Malcolm, Irfan, Trap Daddy, super heavyweight. What would be the best punches or punch combination for a big boy like this to be throwing at an opponent? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely, you know, stick to, it depends on who you're fighting, right? That's just such a loaded question. It's like the size of the person you're fighting, if they're taller than you, if they're shorter than you. I mean, if you're the bigger person and you got the reach, I would definitely say stick to your straight punches, your jab cross. If it's someone that's within your size and reach wise, and you feel comfortable getting on the inside, using, you know, your uppercuts, your hooks. But heavyweight is just, it's such a weird, weird division when it comes to
super heavyweight.
Super heavyweight. So even, yeah, it's honestly within, even you watch at a high level, like, you know, 3-4 rounds in. How many rounds are your fights, by the way, for this one?
I think the influencer fight leagues is what, like 3 or 6 rounds, something like that.
3 or 6
probably 2 minutes. Probably 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think with those types of events, you just want to make sure, if we just look at that event specifically, is a lot of guys are inexperienced, so they're going to come out and gas out within the first, you know, round or two. So if you're just preserving your energy and just being smart, you're probably going to end up with a punching bag in the 3rd and 4th round, right? So
right.
When you see a lot of these influencers, just like a clash, like they're just going, everything is like a full sprint, every punch is hard. So I think if you're looking at it as a strategy wise, when it comes to fighting these influencers, is you're going to get the excitement. You're going to want to hit hard, but kind of like putting it back a gear and letting the person, you know, gas out, you're going to be successful. You see that a lot too. Like,
yeah,
you know, even not even influencers, like amateur boxing, right? Like first few fights, first 3-4 fights, it's like, you finish the fight, you come out, like, what happened? Like, everything was, it was just like a car crash. We just went at it for,
right,
you know, 2 minutes. And then by the 3rd round, it's like you can't even hold your arms up. So,
especially in MMA, because it's so chaotic.
Exactly. And even boxing, too. So I would definitely say if I could give you a strategy for you to use is, you know, do what you do. You know, you have your coaches, but try to preserve your energy, because with inexperience comes a lot of, you know, trying to throw the kitchen sink with every punch, and they're going to gas out within a round or two. And if you're if you have more energy, you know, and they're just worried about breathing, you're going to have a lot more success. So,
you know, I love that advice, because that's something that I've honestly been really working on pretty much my whole career, if you want to call it a career, since, yeah, I've been training. I guess my career really started last year, but I've been training for like 6 years off and on. And as a big guy, that's pretty much like the first thing that I have to like consider that I have to do is reserve my gas tank, because no matter how, you know, no matter how good I am, like as a big guy, you're always going to gas faster than smaller guys. Yeah. But lately I've been working on nerves cardio. Like, mm-hmm, there's, to me, there was such a difference, and I really felt it in high rollers too. There's such a difference between like regular cardio and conditioning cardio, and you're just tired because you're out of shape, and then cardio because you're like, holy shit, I'm here now. Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. Yeah, oh yeah. Shit, let's go. You know? And yeah. I think I started slowly. People don't realize that high rollers was like literally like my third competition ever. Like I fought MMA. I did jiu-jitsu twice, and that was only two matches. So one match each, and then I did high rollers. So it's literally 4 times I've ever competed in my life. And I'm on this big stage smoking weed and celebrities all watching and stuff. It's pretty intense. And I think right there, like as soon as they closed the cage door and, you know, I did the whole, you know, I'm trapped daddy shit. I started like thinking like, man, like the nerves aren't going to help at all. So like, I know that's obvious, but like, you just have to throw them away, cause you're here now. Like, what the fuck are you going to do? Just run out the fucking cage, jump out there. Like, no, you're here. The dude's in front of you. Now you have to do something about it. And that's something that I feel like I'm slowly starting to catch. And I felt like I started to catch that at high rollers. And every time I go to the gym and I step in that boxing ring, I feel that same exact nerve cardio drop. Like, soon as I walk in the ropes, I feel like, oh shit, this is real. Somebody's about to box me. I'm about to spar. I'm about to get punched in the face. Or I'm about to, I had to move. Or if I hope I don't get tired. I hope I'm good enough. I hope I'm fast enough. None of that fucking matters, because you did what you did what you have to do to get there, and now you're there. So now you just have to fight, man. And that's what I'm learning. I'm learning how to be a fighter.
Yeah, good, man.
I think. Sorry, go ahead, Timmy.
No, go, go. You're the boss.
No, I think it's what's really important is, and I always say this to a lot of people, even people that want to compete, is you're seeing that in UFC too. Some of the guys now are competing in different events, like doing jiu-jitsu events and stuff like that. Mm. And not the best person always wins. Sometimes it's the person that can control their nerves and emotions. And the only best way to practice that is just to compete. Like, consistently compete. You know, sometimes I've been at jiu-jitsu tournaments where I've done better, and I think the person may have been better than me, but I was just regularly competing. So for me, showing up on that Saturday was just another Saturday for me, right? For someone, he could be the best person on the mat, an open mat every weekend, but if you're not competing, you just don't know how to handle those emotions. So sometimes it's just hard to just consistently compete. If you're not injured, you're healthy, and especially with jiu-jitsu, because you're not taking damage to the head, and it allows you to work with your nerves. Even though it's not MMA, you're still going to be a little bit nervous. You're going to be like, oh, I don't want to lose. The fear of failure is there. So kind of practicing that muscle memory, nothing can prepare you for that. I think activity is very important, whether, you know,
And a lot of the reason, I feel like a lot of the reason why I didn't compete in the beginning of my career, or even like I'm trying to compete anywhere I can. Like, I'm trying to get on high rollers again. And so hopefully the next high rollers I can jump on. But I think that like a lot of it was just like because I made myself popular before I ever competed. And to the point where, like, my first, like, a lot of people, their first competition, nobody cares about, nobody watches, nobody, you know, but my first competition, I had people, like, saying, like, you know, you're going to lose, you're fat, you suck, you're embarrassing, you're never going to be hitting, like, it was literally hundreds and hundreds of comments. And that all got to my head to the point where I just wanted to be the best I possibly could before I even stepped on the mats. That way I can prove everybody wrong. And now I understand that, like, you can't be the best that you possibly can until you get on those fucking mats. Mm. And you have to use that experience to be the best that you possibly can. And, you know, it's crazy, man. Like, I'm learning everything a little bit backwards, but I feel like that's also dangerous for a lot of people. So, yeah, man, I'm getting my reps in now, and I'm getting my spars in now, and I'm getting my rolls in now. And, you know, I'm 31 years old, but I feel like I'm 31 years young. And I feel like super heavyweights, sometimes they get their peak at like around 40 or something. So I got a long time to go, man. And the more weight I lose, the more healthy I'm gonna get. And I have a lot to lose. So at least 50 more pounds.
So what can I ask? What is your weight now?
My weight is 350. I went up a little bit from 338. So I fought. I fought in July last year in July at 338.
And but muscle, hold on. Muscle weighs more than fat.
That's what my wife keeps telling me.
Yeah. All right. Now,
I feel like I'm getting jacked.
But, I tell that to my wife too when she sees when I'm on the scale. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Muscle weighs more than fat. Calm down.
But yeah, I weigh around 350 right now, and my goal is to be around 300.
Okay. Now, as Irfan and you were talking, I've signed you up for a couple of competitions in Las Vegas. I just did it on my phone. I just signed you up. So you're fighting in a jiu-jitsu tournament this Saturday. I'll send you the details. You talk about people, you know, giving you a bit of a hassle and stuff like that. So when we asked fans for questions, and if we don't have time to get to all the fan questions, thank you for still showing up and watching the podcast. Trap, you can answer them on your social media. You got a bunch sent to you. I'll send you some more if I have, or from the ones that I have, if we don't get to it. But okay. I got a lot that were obviously, I want to fight this dude. F this dude. I'm going to kill him. Let me fight him kind of thing. I do have an audio question trap. So I want you to listen to this one. This is
I feel like you should keep that list and give it to Trap, and then just slowly, one by one, you just actually challenge them and see how many. You know what is the percentage that people?
I
actually
bet you the list, you know, is just so long that I would like spend the rest of my life doing it. Like, yeah, it's crazy, man. I have so many people that randomly want to fight me. I gotta hear this audio question.
Okay, hold on. Yeah. So curious. See, because Irfan, Trap has done a good job. He's trolled Chris Barnett when he came on our podcast. Trap sent in an audio question and gave
another
us some great content.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, yeah. Gave us some great content. Trap, this is from Ahmed Alarebi. Here you go.
Yo, Fat Daddy, I told you to send a contract. I told you I will go up 10 kgs for your ass. I'm waiting for the contract, bitch.
Did you get that?
That is the most.
That is the greatest shit I've ever heard.
Accent I've ever heard in my life.
This guy, that's pretty funny.
This guy.
What do you say, Fat Daddy?
He said, "Yeah, he said Fat."
That's original.
Was that a random fan?
He sounds like every bad guy in like a Bruce Willis movie, like a Die Hard movie or something like that. He sounds like the bad guy, like a villain.
Yeah, he's serious though, man. He wants to fight you.
He sounds serious. Yeah, so I should probably watch out.
We got. I mean, this guy's got to hit up Influencer Fight League and see if he can sign up, right? Like, I mean, you're out there, Trap.
Yeah, I guess so.
Now, Trap, while you're doing all your training and stuff like that, here is a picture of something I saw on your social media. And for those watching, listening only on audio, this is you. It's a dark photo. I'm sorry, I took it from the screenshot. This is you with Tito Ortiz, Rampage, and Frank Mir holding the bag for you. And I looked at this. This is something called American Made MMA.
Yes, sir.
Are you allowed to talk about this?
I'm allowed to talk a little bit about it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what is and when is it coming out?
So I do not know when it's coming out, but I can tell you it's the newest, most exciting reality show for MMA. We've needed a reality show for a long time. Tough has been stale. It's been boring. Well, there's a couple of crazy dudes who came along and got some UFC Hall of Famers and put them with Trap Daddy Gambino and a lot of other really, really good talent. And we're going to make a dope reality show, man. So we got Frank Mir, Tito Ortiz, Rampage Jackson, and it's called American Made MMA. And yeah, man, that's the show. That's pretty much all I can say right now.
That's all you can say?
You can ask me and we'll see.
Oh, okay, hold on.
We'll see where it lies. But you can go on YouTube and look up American Made MMA, and that's the first commercial. I don't know when it's coming out or anything like that. But.
Okay. But on the YouTube video, the commercial that you said, in the description it says... join entrepreneur Harrison Rogers as they travel the states in search of future homegrown heroes as they develop the first ever combat sport team franchise, the United Fight League.
Yes, sir.
So that's something. I mean, I don't know what
that
is.
What it is, man. I heard that there's gonna be a show November 4th. I don't know who's gonna be on that show, that promotion. But I know it's going to be super, super interesting. And I know the first episode of this show is going to be even more interesting because it's got me in it. And that's what everybody should be really looking forward to because, man, manifest destiny is real. And I never felt more powerful until I seen this commercial come out. When I was – there was – like 12 years ago, I was in a basement in Wadsworth, Ohio, 465 pounds, getting out of breath, tying my shoes, watching these guys on TV and telling my wife, like, man, I'm gonna train real hard. I'm gonna lose weight and I'm gonna be there with these guys. I'm gonna be on The Ultimate Fighter. I told her I was gonna do that. I'm gonna be on The Ultimate Fighter. I'm gonna be on the MMA Hour. I'm gonna be on these podcasts and stuff like that. And everybody doubted me. And I feel like since I couldn't really get on The Ultimate Fighter, they don't have a super heavyweight division in the UFC, this is kind of like I manifested this type of Ultimate Fighter. It's pretty crazy, man. Like, I feel really powerful right now, and I feel like the mind is a lot stronger than people think. And now that I know what I can do, like, man, the road is going to get a lot more crazy now.
Nice. No, I'm interested to watch it, man. Like, now I gotta ask, of those three guys, Tito, Frank, and Rampage, what are the odds you get any of them to come on my podcast?
Oh man, I don't know, man.
Are they buddy with you?
They followed me after the show, so they'll definitely see this.
All right. That's good. We're close. Hey, we were in talks with Tito for a while to come.
And y'all deserve a guest like them too. Yeah, honestly, man. So
I want Rampage.
Yeah, man, it's just a matter of time.
Rampage is crazy.
Yeah, you've had huge guests before, haven't you?
Yeah, of course. I've had Trap Daddy. Who's bigger than that? I've had.
Yeah, that's true, man. Thank you.
All right. You talk a little bit about, you know, back in the old days when you were looking at fighting and you were thinking, okay, this is what I'm going to be. And people were talking, you know, talking smack to you and all that. That's when you went on Dr. Phil, when it was around that time, right? Before you had really started achieving anything, but you were on Dr. Phil. You said that you had a little bit of
Absolutely anything. I was on Dr. Phil, which is another thing I feel like I manifested, man. Like,
okay, hold again, on. You
back
said
back in the day, I was talking with my wife and we was making fun of Dr. Phil. And I was always telling her, like, wouldn't it be funny if we was on this show together? Fucking 10 years later, we're on the show together.
How was that experience like?
In person, it was really you could tell they were manipulative, but you know, it's TV and they were trying to get the content. But in person, it was fun until the footage came out and you seen why they were being that manipulative. And then the lash back from the fans was not so fun because a lot of these people think that that's 100% real.
Yeah.
They think that I really like got kicked out of gyms and restaurants and like threatened to beat people up and all this other kind of stuff that they were saying. Like they think all that is real. So unfortunately, that didn't go so well for me, but you know, it served its purpose. I knew exactly what I went on the show for and I knew exactly what I was going to get out of it. I didn't know how bad some of the backlash was going to be. I knew it was going to be bad. I didn't know it was going to be that deep, I guess. But hey, man, you get what you want. You know, you make your bed, you got to lay in it. So it is what it is, man. I had fun doing it. And yeah, Dr. Phil's crazy, man. I wouldn't suggest anybody else doing that.
But you said you had a little bit of an update. This is the last thing I'll ask you before we get on to some other topics. But you said there was a little bit of an update with Dr. Phil.
Yeah, so they've been texting me for like literally like 6 months now and asking me for like updates on my life and stuff and been telling me that they want to have me back on the show. And
we'd like to manipulate you even worse. Do you mind coming back, Trap?
It's weird how they'll tell you to play it up and stuff and they'll tell you to like lie about stuff and then they'll put it on the film and then, you know, make you look. You know, it's just TV, man. But I don't know if I'm going to be back on the Dr. Phil show unless, like, they give me, like, opportunity to film my side as well. So that way I can show, like, what's cut out. And, like, because there's a lot of times where he shows me, like, nodding and stuff, the shit that I never nodded to, like, agreeing to stuff that I never agreed to. Like, you would be amazed at how they splice this up, man. It's insane. Yeah.
No. I can feel you because even when I make like promos for the podcast after I film this, right? Because for me to make a 15-second promo that's going to fit on Instagram story, sometimes I have to take like a 40-second blurb of you talking and cut out pieces and then merge it together. And there's been a few times where I kind of merge it together and I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. And then I'm like, wait, this isn't kind of what the person just said. And then, you know, not even on purpose, but I've kind of cut out too many parts where it almost sounds different. I'm like, oh crap, I can't post that. And then I have to like redo it. So,
right. You know, so you got dignity. And these producers don't, these Hollywood weird producers don't care, man. They're snakes for sure. No, they want the content. They don't just want content. They want the worst content. They don't want drama. They want the worst drama. Like, what's the worst you can give me? And if it's not bad, I'm going to make it look that bad.
Yeah, of course.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's what happens. But all right. Good update from you in terms of what's going on. So I'm glad that you're training. Irfan says when you're fighting, you're going to head movement, turtle up, etc. Let the guy get tired. Right? Long punches keep him at bay for the first bit, Irfan.
That kind of suits my next fight because my next fight, if he fights like he did the first time. So he's only had one fight.
Who's the who are you fighting against? What was the guy's name?
So I don't know his full name, but his like Instagram name is Big Sam. He's like an influencer. Yeah, he like smokes Cheetos and Fritos and stuff.
What the hell
like
do you mean smoke a Cheeto? What is smoke a Cheeto? I'm like, am I too old? I don't understand what that means.
So I don't. It's like
I'm glad you asked because like, I've been wanting.
He literally all I seen was like videos of him putting the Cheeto up to his lips and like lighting it and hitting it and like going viral off stuff like that. He's just a crazy dude. He likes making crazy content, like hiding Snickers underneath his titties and stuff like that. Like he's a wild man, and he fights like a wild man. So I'm gonna have to be on my P's and Q's. For this dude, all due respect, he's not exactly a boxer. So I'm going to have to fight him like I'm a boxer, and I'm going to box a brawler. That's my goal for this fight.
Yeah. All right. Tire him out, then finish him off. Don't let it go to decision. Let him tire out. Then you beat the crap out of him. Long punches, hooks in the close.
You know, if you want my honesty, man, I highly doubt this is going to go to decision unless I decide.
I know it's not.
It.
Of course you're going to knock this dude
out.
Yeah,
like I could make it. This is the thing. People don't understand that I've actually been boxing my whole life. Literally my whole life. Since I was a baby, I've had the boxing gloves on. I've been at the Salvation Army boxing. I've been in real boxing, gym boxing. And yeah, man. So like, I feel like I could come out with a different style every round if I wanted to. I feel like I could come out and just flick the jab and shell up if I wanted to and make it the most boring fight, but win on points. Or I could do what I think he's going to make me do. And I think he's going to make me knock him out because this dude comes in wild and he comes in aggressive. And when you do that to me, like I have no choice but to hurt you before you hurt me. Cause you know, I'm a sensitive dude and I don't want to be fucked up.
last question I'm going to ask Irfan, just to get this. If you're two super heavyweights, right? We're talking like 300 pounds, etc. Do body shots matter at all at that point?
Oh, you know what's funny? I was actually thinking that because I was like, I was about to tell him to go to the body, but I was like, I'm not sure if you're going to, it might not
Man,
work.
I'm telling you. So this is a misconception. I'll tell you as a heavyweight, right?
I don't know. What was that video with John
I'll
Carr,
tell you as
he
a
was
super
like
heavyweight.
Body shots on this kid, and he was like 280 pounds, and the kid was just taking body shots from John Parr like it was nothing, like over and over. And I was like,
I'll tell you right now, as a super heavyweight, it definitely matters, but it matters less. So like you definitely have padding there, but also these guys are huge and they can hit right through that padding, like. The dude, my roommate that I spar with, he hits me to the body all the time. And even a light tap, I feel that shit because he's like 330 pounds and he's 6'2". So like any little tap to the body is going to hurt me. And yeah, man, I feel like it's just with everything. You just got to train it and toughen it up. But yeah, man, body shots definitely count. And I know my opponent likes to throw body shots too, so.
Did you play any other sports? Did you play any other sports growing up, or just?
Man, I didn't do anything growing up other than get on the computer and talk to girls, and like that's about it. Like I was just, man, I was so unathletic growing up. I was just telling my friend how I skipped track and field day. Like every time there was a track and field day that came around in school, I was like, oh, my stomach hurts, because I was like afraid that the kids were gonna make fun of me for not keeping up with them. I was always a fat kid. I was always obese. I was never athletic. I fought MMA before I knew how to jog. I couldn't jog, and I was in the cage fighting MMA. So it's wild, man. I was never an athlete, and I feel like now I'm a fat athlete, and eventually I'll be a normal athlete, and I'm progressing.
Nice, man.
And you train full time in Vegas, right? That's your
full time. I train pretty much 7 days a week.
Is it a specific gym you're at, or?
Yeah, so it's City Athletic Boxing Gym is my main gym, but I also train at like EOS, which is like a regular, like a strength and conditioning gym out here at the LVAC out here, Las Vegas Athletic Club, and yeah, man, I get. Or I do road work out here. I train every single day, and it's going to show in my next fight. That's for sure.
Yeah,
unless I was just gonna say
unless Trap is lying in his Instagram stories, I always see him traveling up the escalators in Vegas, going to the gym, whatever. So I'm like, all right, dude's working, man. Dude's putting in the work.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, man.
All right, well, Trap, we wish you all the best. You're gonna stick with us now for a few other things, right? We're gonna talk about some nonsense we got going.
Yeah, let's do it.
In the world. All right. For those of you that are here just because of the Trap Gambino interview, or maybe because Irfan is here as my guest co-host, thanks for watching. Please stick with us. Again, our sponsor is MiddaySquares.com. Use code FIGHTINSIGHT15. These are those functional chocolate bars. Irfan, you talked about them last time.
What
you
said flavor you like is that? I've never seen this that one.
This is the peanut butter one. These are
functional. I don't think I've tried the peanut butter one.
Yeah, they're good, man. And you know, now at the grocery stores, they sell them in single packs too. So go check those out. Nice. They're everywhere. But you should just use my code FIGHTINSIGHT15 and just get them for 15% off. It's way better. Next week on the podcast, we're going to go back to the Cain Velasquez trial. We did a good podcast talking about it when he first got arrested. There's been some developments now. He's been denied bail 3 times, as we predicted. So we've got the fight lawyer, Daniel Martinez, criminal defense lawyer out of Florida. He's coming back on the podcast, and we're going to talk about it now. We're going to talk about some of the things that have gone on. So we're going to do that next week. Plus, I'm hoping that we're going to get a guest on as well, who is Brazilian fighter Lily Ferreira. She fought at Palace Athena in Calgary, Alberta, last weekend. Last week's guest was an English girl called Lexi Rook. She fought on that card. She won Fight of the Night, as do all the guests of Fight Insight podcast.
Lexi Brook, always... that's not a porn star, is it?
No, no.
Why does that sound like a porn star?
Lexi Rook. Rook. Maybe it's a different one. I'll edit that out.
My bad. You can continue.
Anyways, but Irfan, you'll appreciate this. So will you, Trap. This girl, Lily Ferreira, who we were going to have on our podcast before, the timing didn't work out. So I'm really trying to get her on next week. She fights at Adam Weight, fights for the title at Palace Athena. The girl, her opponent is in side control. No, sorry, in mount. Sorry, in full guard. And headbutts her in the face, right? Like drops down and headbutts her right in the face.
Illegally, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. The ref calls it, stops it, gives her a bit of a break. She's like upset. They resume the fight.
Headbutts again.
No. Lily then gets her in a guillotine, like a standing guillotine, jumps up and it has her in the guillotine. And then she starts screaming at her coaches. Like you can see her screaming at the coaches, and the coaches are translating for her. Apparently the girl is digging her fingers under her ribs to get her to release. So like almost like a pressure thing or something. So that's what's reported.
That hurts. That hurts. Yeah.
So then the ref,
that done to me.
The ref doesn't do anything about that. Then in the third round, the girl has side control on the Lily, knees her in the head, like right to the same spot that she got headbutted. The ref separates them, calls the fight, because Lily then is like, I'm messed up. Okay, so this is for a title fight. So this is essentially it's Aljamain. Calls the fight. Then there's a whole bunch of confusion in the ring. Then the ref goes over to the other girl and deducts a point.
And the
commentators are like, why is he deducting a point when he's already
This is in America?
Fight? No, Canada, Calgary.
Oh, I mean, still. I mean, damn.
Even worse.
This sounds like some Russian shit.
No. Then they give the title to the other girl and say that Lily was unfit to continue, and the referee judged it accidental.
Unbelievable.
What? That's
crazy.
I gotta watch.
Dude, so check it out. It was Palace Athena, which was a great event. We're really happy to work with those guys, but boy, was that a lot of controversy. And I would love to have Lily on to talk about it. I mean, she's been pretty upset. And she was messaging me. She said, yeah, like after I got headbutted, I was dizzy. And then a little while later, she knees me in the head in the exact same spot. like, I mean, all illegal blows plus the finger in the
fight. He called the fight, then he changed his mind. That's the weird thing. Yeah.
The ref calls the fight, does this, waves it off, and then insane. So anyways, we're hoping, long story short, not too short, but we're trying to get her on the podcast to go with Daniel Martinez. Cool, yeah. because we want to talk about that fresh. But also, we are going to detail the Cain Velasquez case and give some legal updates on that. And
how many years is Cain facing right now?
20 to life. 20 to life. So stay tuned. But if you haven't seen our podcast with Daniel Martinez before, he's been on twice, but the last one for Cain Velasquez is really good, man. He gives a whole bunch of great scenarios and explains why it's not temporary insanity, why he was going to be denied bail, which he was now three times. Like, really good stuff. All right. I want to talk about a few things. There's so many things to get to, but okay, let's just quickly go to this. This was announced today.
This is crazy.
Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva scheduled tentatively for October. Irfan, I will go to you first. Who wins the fight? Don't tell me why or how. Who wins?
Anderson Silva.
Trap?
Is this a long answer or a short answer?
No, short answer. Who wins?
Anderson Silva.
Okay, you're both wrong because this fight is rigged. What is wrong with you guys?
You're one of those guys.
It's tough. I just can't. You would hope that like Silva isn't in a place that he needs that money to rig a fight. You know what I mean? Like, he's done really well in his career. He's got a lot of sponsorship. He owns a lot of businesses. So you would hope that he doesn't step in there and be like, let me just take a knee and a punch and that. But I think the interesting thing is going to be, are these sanctioned organization events actually testing? Because like, if Paul is armed, that's going to be the real question, right? Like,
as long as you're both equally on the juice.
And if they're both equally on the juice, then it's going to be Silva, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I think Silva's got this. I don't know what I will do. We got to put an end to this.
Irfan will lose his mind if Anderson Silva takes a dive or if he loses legitimately.
Hope he doesn't show up and does what he did against Weidman and starts showboating and stuff like that. I just hope he comes in business, finishes this kid, and that's that.
Trap.
So here's my opinion, man. I feel like Jake Paul has been taking a wrong turn. I can't say this because he's obviously doing well, but I thought for a while he's taken the wrong road. After the fight where he knocked out the basketball star, what was his name? Nate Robinson. You know, he flatlined Nate Robinson. I was like, okay. The next obvious one is Dylan Danis, right? Can't box, flatline that guy with a super easy knockout. No, the motherfucker chooses Tyron Woodley, which is like, I was like, there's no way he's winning this fight.
Dylan Danis is going to call you out after that call out. I think
probably. So he got past Tyron Woodley, and I was like, okay, I don't know how he did it, but he got past Tyron Woodley. Then the rematch happened, and I was like, okay, there's no way he's beaten him twice. He knocks out Tyron Woodley. So, like, I'm like, okay, now he really needs to take a step back because he's getting too lucky here. He needs to fight somebody like Dylan Danis or, like, somebody – and he chooses, you know, Tyson – or what's his name? That's another good one. But the Fury kid would have been a good fight. Tommy Fury, because, you know, he kind of sucks at boxing. But other than that, man, like, I didn't – Asim Rockman was just the wrong choice. I felt like that would have been really bad for Jake Paul if that fight would have happened. And now Anderson Silva – I don't understand, man. Like, if he beats Anderson Silva, then either we really got to take a step back as a fight community and assess like what we think is good and what we think is not.
as humanity, we got to take a step back.
The one thing I would like combat that is like the community is hating on him, saying like he's not really fighting real opponents. But they forget that boxing is a sport that guys literally for their first 30 fights fly down to Colombia, Mexico, pay someone $1,200 and be like, take a punch and let me pad up my record. Yeah. So it's like he's doing nothing that's different that boxing has been doing. Like, you, I remember, yes, if you look at Prince Nassim's record, like, I think in his like 15th fight, he was fighting a guy that was like 6 and like 18. You know what I mean? It's right, like, right. So it's, yeah, like, it's just, he's doing it on a bigger scale and everybody's hating on him. But every professional fighter, when it comes to especially boxing, their first 30 fights or 15 fights are fighting non-worthy opponents. You know what I, yeah, mean? In a bad, not to say that in a bad way, but
no. I get what
he's,
you're
doing
saying,
nothing different.
And yeah, he's, I doing, I feel like he's doing better than that. You know, I feel like he's, exactly, fighting opponents that are like, you know, yeah, actually had, you know, either athletes or actually skilled in other combat sports, and or like Kasim Rockman with like 100, yeah, amateur fights and 12 pro fights. That's insane, man.
Yeah, Nate Robinson was the only guy that pretty much had never put on boxing gloves, right?
But yeah,
at that,
exactly,
point, but at that point they were both 0-0, which made, so it, correct, still made sense, right?
Correct.
The only thing I'll say, and the reason why I said this is rigged, is because my belief is that Jake Paul is just doing this before he gets the Nate Diaz fight. So I feel like Jake Paul is, yeah, just doing this to say, okay, look, I need to do something while Nate fights out his UFC contract with his last fight. So let me do this. So however the hell he's figured out how to do this fight, because if he loses this fight, it blows the Nate fight. I mean, maybe not, because Nate would still, yeah, come out and fight him anyways. Who cares? But he doesn't want to go down badly. So yeah, I don't know, man. Interesting.
But I agree. I agree with you too. That's true. Because sometimes I go like, if the Woodley fight was rigged, like, and people are like, well, why would he rig it? Well, the guy made more money than he did in his MMA career. You know what I mean?
Right.
From those, yeah, fights. So who cares? So and life goes on, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Who cares? No, like, you know, on our Instagram story just today, I posted it. 42% of the respondents think it's rigged. 26% believe Jake's going to win, and 32% believes Anderson's going to win. So early polls from my very smart viewers and listeners. That's what they're saying. Irfan, I know you got to go soon, my friend. Do you have to bail out, yeah, now? Yeah.
Like 2 minutes. I got 2 minutes. If you're kicking me out, that's fine though.
No, I'm not kicking you out, dude. I want you to stay all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Irfan, so that I can officially say it though, thank you so much, man, for coming.
Of course.
You're great. You're a great dude. We wish you all the best. Can you just, for these 2 minutes, why don't you plug what's happening with your buddy Malcolm?
Yeah. So we're fighting a really, really good opponent. He's like the next hot prospect in the flyweight division or UFC. So Muhammad will be a tough opponent, but I think his hype is a lot bigger than his actual skill level. Not to say that he's not going to be there. I think he's 22 or 21. But we're training hard. I think Malcolm coming off 2 wins against tough opponents. And it's so funny too. The other day I was like looking at Malcolm's first 4 opponents. He's 2-2 now in the UFC. I think their combined record of his first 4 opponents are like 40 something and 11. So it just kind of goes to tell you that he hasn't fought anybody easy. And as you know, the flyweight division, I just feel like from 1 to 20, anybody can beat anybody on any given night, right? So it's such a, like Tyson Nam beating O'Day. I didn't see that coming. I thought O'Day was going to have a good, you know, easy fight. Not an easy fight, but he was going to get the victory. But, and, you know, we're fighting on the biggest card of the year. So possibly could be the biggest card of UFC history, because Islam versus Oliveira, O'Malley versus Jan, Benil Dariush is on it.
Yeah,
I'm missing another fight too. Aljamain Sterling and Dillashaw, right? So,
nice.
Just that whole experience in itself. And at the end of the day, we're gonna go in there and give the best fight that we can, right? So, we've been underdog all 4 fights, so it's no different for nothing different for us. So.
Yeah, man. No. So good luck to you. Good luck to our friend Malcolm.
Thank you so much.
Say hi to us for him. Do you know, I've got a whole bunch of these UFC cards. Is Malcolm Gordon in any of these sets? Do you know? Like these UFC cards?
I have no idea. I haven't played with cards since Pokemon days, I have no idea.
I will crush you in Pokemon cards. But
has he been on your podcast?
Yeah, Malcolm Gordon's been on. He was there on site at Toronto Top Team. He came on. So we'll have him back on again.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, he's a great dude. If I do pull, I'm going to do some unboxing videos with some of these UFC cards later this month. And if I pull some Malcolm Gordon cards, I got to go get him to sign those babies up the value.
For sure.
All right. When is the fight?
When is the fight? October 22nd.
October 22nd. We'll be cheering for you, brother.
Hey, it was nice meeting
you,
brother.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Trap, nice meeting you. Good luck on your fight. And Timmy, we'll be in touch and we'll talk.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate it, brother. Good luck, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, Trap, it's just you and me, my friend.
Oh, now it's intimate.
You good to keep going here?
Yeah, man, we can keep going.
All right, man. I want to talk about one other thing for sure, which, do you watch BKFC at all?
You know, I've seen some... Still there? I've seen some. I've seen some clips of. I'm a fan of some fighters on there, but.
Okay. All right. Well, did you see what happened this weekend, or did you hear what happened on the main event?
With who? With Mike Perry and.
No. That was 2 weeks ago, man.
I definitely seen that.
Okay, yeah, this is Taylor Starling. I'm gonna show the clip here.
Oh,
now.
The OnlyFans girl. Yeah.
Hello. So wait, it's so funny you say that. Okay, I'm gonna skip.
Her only. I'm just gonna be. I don't give a fuck. Her OnlyFans is crazy, and I'm not sponsored by her. But y'all need to sign up for that. I'm telling you, it's worth every fucking penny.
Okay. Now, how much does it cost, Trap?
Dude, I don't even know.
Is it like $10 or something? Everybody's the same?
Yeah, probably like $10-$20. She should be charging like $500 a month. Okay. Like I'm telling you.
All right, hold on. She's putting in work. All right. calm down. I'm going to skip our preview of UFC Gone versus Tuivasa because you can go find fight picks anywhere else, right? Let's talk about some good stuff. I'm going to play a clip of what happened at the end of that fight for BKFC. Okay, don't worry, it's not too bloody or anything. It's very weird. This is 30 seconds into the first round. This is main event. Taylor Starling fighting for the title. She's fought many, many times before. She's famous, man. She's a legit BKFC fighter. This is what happens like 30 seconds in. If you're watching,
she was fighting an animal.
But if you
Christina
are,
is no joke. Christine, Ferreira, whatever her name is.
Ferreira.
Ferrari. Yeah.
If you are,
she's from Vegas.
Oh, okay. If you are listening to this, you got to always come over to the audio version. But when I upload this, if this gets cut out because of like trademark, just know I'm showing the last 40 seconds. Anyways, here we go, Trap.
Side. And down goes Taylor Starling. That right there, Sean, I'm telling you, there's just a difference when Faria hits you. She quit, I think.
Hey, Taylor, turn it out.
Interesting. That was the end of the fight, right?
You didn't see
that? I hope so.
No.
I'm hoping that was the end, right?
No. So
they kept going after that?
So she then turns around. The Dan Mergliardis restarts it. She takes two punches and then waves it and stops. So like,
see,
literally,
that's bullshit.
No.
Hold, that's fucked up.
Yeah, but she turns around and Dan, for whatever reason, I don't know if he doesn't realize what she's doing when she's talking out of the ring. And okay, so for the audio only listeners, what happens is she takes a knee after getting a barrage of punches. Somehow she's fallen right in front of what I can only assume is her corner. And she starts
super
going,
emotional.
I can't do it. I can't do this. And she looks like she's crying.
She's out of it.
It's the weirdest
breakdown. She's not there emotionally.
Yeah, it's very smart, Trap. It's an emotional breakdown, kind of. But then she gets up and Dan goes, are you ready to fight? And she goes, okay. Which now I feel like she's just in the moment. She doesn't really understand.
Yeah, like you're going to say no. You know what I mean?
I don't know, dude. She's slashing her neck.
But as a fighter.
Outside saying, I'm done. So it's...
But this is the difference. So I've seen people that are like, you know, they want to quit so bad. Like, for example, that UFC fight with, I forget his name, but he wanted to quit so bad, but he kept telling his corner man, he was like, please, please call it for me. I don't want it to, don't make me do it. Don't make me tell the referee, make me do it.
There was the Raquel Pennington one where,
yeah, that
remember,
one too.
Where she wanted to quit
too.
And her coaches were like, get the fuck out there.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, man. I feel like as soon as her corner saw that, they should have threw in the towel.
Exactly. Yes.
And also, like, I don't know, man. Like, obviously, Dan Mergliotta couldn't see what she was saying, or couldn't see it. Maybe he thought she was just stumbling or something like that.
Yeah.
But, man, that's tough, man. Like, fighting, like I was just saying, fighting is 10% of the shit. Like, the emotion.
This is why
so much of it, too.
When you were saying when you were saying that, I was like, oh my God, this is the perfect segue into this thing later.
Yeah. Like,
but yeah.
That's the emotions that get to you. It's like, man, I'm just like, it's like she's probably been there so many times. She's sick of taking so much damage. It's like, I'm just like, what the fuck am I even doing this for? Like, you know, I'm making so much money on my OnlyFans and I'm sitting here getting punched in the face. But
the weird thing though, Trap, is that she's been there so many times in main event status, in BKFC. Yeah. Like, this wasn't the first time getting hit. So it was a strange breakdown. And
Stefan Struve had a panic attack in the UFC one day before he walked out for a fight.
Yeah, that's true too. And so, you know, let me put up.
You just never know. I feel like the nerves never go away.
Let me just put up a quick thing. She posted on her Instagram, and this, again, this ties into you perfectly, but here's what she posts, and I'll read it for people. This was on her Instagram story, so I took a shot of this. It says, "Things didn't go my way. I quit. I didn't show up myself last night. I know. But the hateful comments and horrible shit isn't okay. I'm a human. I work so hard for that, and I am devastated. If I let you down, I'm sorry, but just be kind." Imagine
this
the
is
hate.
Why I hate fans sometimes, man.
Yeah, imagine so, like, the hate.
I can. Unfortunately, I can. So, yeah. Like, I'm a father, a husband. You know, I try to inspire people. I have a lot of family and friends that care about me. And then you go online and you see some of these forums about me, and they're literally talking about a person who doesn't exist. And I can only imagine at her level, because she's probably got, you know, it just as much or way more than me haters talking about her, why she quit, you know, reposting her OnlyFans with different, you know, captions and making stuff seem like it's not other thing. Like, I get the same thing, like trolls and haters, and fans can be really, really mean, man. And I feel like that's why a lot of these, I feel like every social media platform needs to hold people responsible, and they need to, like, make you sign up with like an ID or something, an IP address. So we know exactly who's commenting what. Because a lot of these people, man, like, I've thought suicidal thoughts over some of the things that these people said about me. And I know I'm not the only one. And mental health is a real thing. Yeah. And we need to be more aware of that. And thankfully, fighters like Patty the Batty is, you know, talking about men's mental health. And we really need to talk about fighters' mental health a lot more, too, because that is something that's so underlooked. And a lot of these knockouts, a lot of times these people quit, a lot of these submissions isn't because a fighter is more talented than the other.
Hey, you're doing more because Nolan Ryan won't even eat a single
dish. Are you good? It's because that'll make a clip in the podcast. But it's because like the mental stability sometimes is just so much stronger than the other. And I feel like that's, like I said, fighting is 10% of it. And, you know, it really needs to be taken more seriously. And I feel bad for her. I felt bad for myself for a long time over a lot of this stuff. And then I just realized, like, man, you gotta be stronger than it. But a lot of times ignoring it isn't enough, unfortunately, because I've ignored it too. And then it just came back even stronger sometimes. So, yeah, I don't know what the option is to do for this. But, I got to jump off here.
All right, buddy. Trap. All the best to you, man.
Daddy calls.
We got all right, man. I will see you later, my friend. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
All right. Hey, man, it was a blast being on the podcast. I appreciate you guys as always. Thanks so much for having me on. And yeah, man, that was fun.
I'll have you on as a guest co-host soon, brother.
All right, let's do it, man. Okay. I'm excited.
See you, buddy. All right, man. Take care, man. Bye-bye. All right, guys. You know, parental responsibilities called him away. There was a few other things I wanted to talk about that whole Taylor Starling thing, but we'll get to it again later. Please do. Hey, if you can reach out to her and give some positive words of encouragement, man, as Trap is saying, that kind of thing is like, it's a psychological thing, you know, and a unfortunately, we wish the best to her. I know she's trained with our good friend, Brian Bam Bam Barbarena. He said, I think they trained at the lab together. He always said that she's a great person. So send her out some support and love. And if you follow Trap's advice, you also might want to check out her OnlyFans. I don't know anything about that. But have a good one, guys. This is the end of the podcast. I got left behind by both my co-host and my guest, but that's okay. We will see you next week. Again, it's going to be Cain Velasquez trial update, and possibly, hopefully, Lily Ferreira will come on to talk about what we explained happened down at Pallas Athena 2. So for that, check out the links that you're going to see all around the screen right now. Check out some of our old podcasts, and I'll see you next week. Have a good one, guys. Take care, and thank you.